Thank you, Pastor Mitchell. That's one of my favourite hymns, that one, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. And how the Lord orchestrated that, I don't know, but the purpose of the message, as we look through the whole sort of gamut of the message this morning, if you were to have a purpose that you were left with, it would be that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's the thought, that's the verse, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Beneath the Cross of Jesus speaks of the Lord's cross, and the message of the cross has a lot to it, but for us to take up our cross is to mean that we need to be lessened, diminished, and realize it's not of us. And I think the song spoke about knowing no gain. And we need to be in a place in our walk with Christ that we are prepared to know no gain for the things of this world, to be emptied of self and to be, you know, stripped of any self-ambition for the cause of Christ. And really that's what the excellency of the power may be of God, and he can take all the credit, for it's not of us. Please turn to Judges chapter 7 in your Bible. Judges chapter 7. The book of Judges is an action-packed book of the account of the failures of Israel to maintain the high spiritual standards that were laid down for them by Moses and Joshua. They, Israel, did not only fail to conquer the land of Canaan, they fell into idolatry and sinful practices. And this moral degradation meant that God would apply his chastening hand upon them by delivering them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. For 7 years, these desert nomads, these Midianites, amongst others, the nations of the east, the Amorites and so on, repeatedly raided Israel and oppressed them. And Israel was greatly impoverished. Judges chapter 6 speaks of that. No sustenance or livestock was left for them. You know, they were continually raided. The children of Israel came to a place in their in the nation's history where they just cried unto the Lord. And that's when God heard their cry and chose a person of little earthly significance, this person Gideon, the sixth judge of Israel. Gideon, his task would be delivering Israel from its oppressors and those who had long been a terror to Israel and had so long frightened them would themselves be routed and ruined purely also by terror. And that's what Judges chapter 7 talks about, how the Lord gave victory but took the honours. And that's how things should be. The Lord wants to give victory, but he wants to take the honours. Please follow with me in Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them, in the hill of Moreh, in the valley there of Jezreel. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Let's just open in prayer. We'll continue. Father, we thank you that we can be before your book, before the word of God. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to the inner man this morning and every need that is presented before you this morning, Lord, every life, every soul. We pray that you would deal with each one. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for his empowering. We thank you for the gifts he gives, and we thank you, Lord, that he is our teacher. So we pray for anointing from above now, and we pray that you would hinder the work of the evil one, the devil, Satan, that he would have no grounds, no place. We claim the blood of Christ upon this meeting. We thank you for the words of praise that we were able to lift up to your worthy name. We thank you, Father, that if we would just lift you up, many men would be drawn unto thee. We thank you, Lord, for a time of reflection and the time of prayer that we've had for the different ones. We thank you, Lord, that you're always available and for us to go to thee in prayer. Thank you that you are loving and faithful. And your desire is that we would know you more. Help us to in this quest, Lord, that we would understand your ways more and see less of ourselves. And we just commit ourselves to you, Lord, for we're at your disposal this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's an important verse we just read there that lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, "Mine own hand has saved me." That's why God diminished the armies of Israel under Gideon. We'll read on. "Now therefore," verse 3, "go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people yet are too many." I wonder what was going through the mind of Gideon that day. You know, 32,000, Lord, against 135,000 strong soldiers, fed up and very strengthened with all their forces. 135,000 of them. There's only, you know, we're outnumbered at 32,000, and the Lord diminishes the army to 10,000. And verse 4, "The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go." So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, "Everyone that lappeth the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth him, shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. By these men will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his tent." I like how the Lord chose Gideon, and the Lord chose a man who didn't really think much of himself, didn't have a lot of self-confidence, but he was a worker. And in chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, "Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress." And under oppression of the Midianites, he worked for his father, but he was out working when the Lord called him. Verse 12 tells us that the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And that was the message given to Gideon by an angel that the Lord sent. The Lord is with thee, Gideon, thy mighty man of valor. And the Lord will call men and will give tasks to men for his ministry when they're at work. You know, there are too many people who'll just sit and want to be fed and then not do a whole lot, and then expect that the Lord will call them into the ministry. Well, that's not what will happen. The example there is of Gideon. Men who are moving, who are the men who God will use, men who are moving and women who are moving and busy being servants of the Lord, busy being Levites, you know, workers at the tabernacle, for the Lord. It was good to see a few Levites out in the back room working away during the break there. But that was Gideon's attitude. The Lord is with thee, Gideon, thy mighty man of valor. He said, how am I mighty? In verse 15 of chapter 6, it gives us an insight into Gideon's head. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least of that family. I just come from a poor family, and I'm the least of that family. Perhaps he was the youngest, but he saw himself, nevertheless, as the very least of that family, an insignificant person. And God says, have I not sent thee? It's God that sent me. By your hand, Gideon, I will save Israel. That was the message. Have you ever thought about that? It's Gideon's hand, but it's God will save Israel. And so the Lord wants to use our hands, but he'll do the work. He just needs hands to go forward. That's a beautiful picture there given by Gideon. And Gideon shows us that it's not of myself, not of ourselves. It's the empowering of God. And he knew that. An inferior Gideon needed proof, needed affirmation, needed confirmation from the Lord. And you know the story, how he would put out the fleece, and the fleece was wet and the fleece was dry, and Gideon saw the Lord's sending in that. And he went forward. Verse 34 of verse chapter 6 says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and all of Israel was gathered behind him in blowing the trumpet. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. There's the key, folk. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. As God's Spirit continues to move today, yes, we're indwelt of the Spirit of God, but he will empower and he will send forth the filling of the Spirit and for us to do a task for God. It's not of ourselves. Oh Lord, how shall I save Israel? That's the attitude to have. In Hebrew 11:32, if you would flick over to there, then we'll come back to Judges 7. Hebrew 11:32, it speaks of the men of faith, the many heroes of the faith. Hebrew 11:32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith, this is what they did, through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the fire, the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness they were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Underline there, out of weakness they were made strong. There are perfect examples there. Gideon is amongst them, men whom God used in this manner, out of weakness they were made strong. If you were in Sunday school this morning there, we learnt a little bit out of Paul's weakness and fearing and trembling, much trembling. He was made strong. And that pattern is how God would use us. For it's how God used many of the Bible characters. Some examples of whom, men of whom who had humble beginnings, and who were also least in their father's home, as Gideon was a man called Jephthah. You remember him? Least in his father's home, a son of a harlot, disowned by his half-brothers, kicked out, belittled. And then God picked him up some years later and said, I'll send you, our mighty man of valor, Jephthah. And Israel gathered behind him. Least in his father's home. Was not David, King David, least in his father's home? He certainly was when he was out in the paddock working once again. Not even considered amongst the selection group when Samuel was there, but then chosen of God, least in his home. Became a giant killer who God used, God using a sling and stones to defeat Goliath, small David. We need to be small. And the little lad who had five loaves, just a small lad, just an insignificant little boy, not considered by the disciples. Oh Lord, not him. What are we going to do with just a few little offerings of the loaves and the fishes? And you see a multiplication take place in that story there. And how the Lord would take something small, whatever we could offer him, something small, and he would take that offering and multiply it to something great for the blessing of others. There's an example there of him. And the scriptures go on. There are many other examples we could find of Joseph disowned as well, at least amongst his brothers, and who God used. Sometimes I think the Lord tries to tell us something. We can't be too great. Especially in our own minds, we can't be too great for God to use. God can use a great man, you know, a noted figure. I mean, God's God. Do what he likes. He'll raise who he wishes to raise up. But a man who is big in his own mind, God can't use. It is possible to be too strong, you know, to be used of God. To be too big to be used of God. It is possible to be there. I think there were times that I've been there. Too big in our minds and our own abilities to be used of God. Well, it's wonderful. Sometimes it's wonderful to have music or musical singing ability or whatever it may be. But you know what? It's not of yourself. When we get saved, God gives special gifts for his glory. And in the context that we're reading here, so that we don't vaunt ourselves saying, mine own ability. So Israel vaunt not themselves saying, mine own hand has saved me. Well, there's the principle in being little and realizing that, we're small, but God is great. The eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro. Searching to and fro. And God sees the heart. And not only sees just the ability, but he just sees the heart. The heart of an insignificant person. It could be one of the little children here who's just very humble and fearful and trembling in their seat, wishing they'll never be asked to do anything. But the Lord can work on that heart and use that person in a great way, as he did Gideon. Moving on, in verse 8, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. And so the Lord's diminished the army, down from 32,000 men to 300, just 300. And the Lord is trying to teach something to Israel. And in fact, as you read into the previous chapters in here, you see that God just didn't even use 300 men. He used one. He used Gideon. By the hand of Gideon, he destroyed the Midianites. God can just use one. The power of one person being sensitive to the Lord's leading. They're outnumbered 450-1. God's ways are not our ways. I shared that on Friday night to the youth, how God's ways and thoughts are not our ways and thoughts at times. Certainly this is brought out in this passage here. Gideon's strange mobilization strategy, taking 300 men alert to battle conditions and then dividing those forces and attacking by night, was not a way to defeat a mighty army. that God would use these ways. In many ways, this account here is similar to Genesis chapter 14. Do you recall that? Abraham defeated the army that had taken Lot captive. And the number of men were much the same. Abraham had 318 men. Gideon here has 300 men. And they both divided their forces. They both attacked by night. And they were both victorious under great disadvantage. It was for Israel to see the mighty hand of God. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's by my spirit. Victory may sometimes need to be preceded, you know, by a lessening of numbers, by deduction. Sometimes the Lord may need us to go through a valley, perhaps losing wealth or income, being stripped of the things that, you know, we work so hard for. Or it may be sickness or death. It may be a reduction of numbers in a church. We need to be humbled sometimes. The Lord will use these things. It's not to say that the Lord will always use these things in order to humble us, but at times he may do that so that we would come to a place as Gideon did, and he would see the mighty hand of God working through our afflictions and our trials. If we read in our passage here, chapter 15, as they get ready for battle, Judges chapter 7, verse 15. "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped." You see, the dream was another confirmation Gideon needed. "And returned into the host of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian.'" And so these are very strong words. These are words of conviction. "Arise, the Lord has delivered." It hadn't taken place yet. It's walking by faith. "The Lord has delivered Israel." The Lord wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. In verse 16, "And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, and empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, 'Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do.'" Notice here the weapons of mass destruction that God has for Israel, for Gideon. There's one on the end there. Well, the trumpet that Gideon used looks a little different to that one. You'd probably do more damage with that one. But there were 300 trumpets given as weapons of warfare. He disarmed Israel with man's weapons and armed them with God's weapons, weapons of humility. "Just trust in me. I know you don't understand, but just trust me. But Lord, it's just a trumpet. Just hold the trumpet." Verse 17, he said, "Look on me and do likewise." Just look on me and do likewise. Just follow me. Does that ring a bell? Just follow me. Just do what I ask you to do. "And as I do ye, so shall ye do." And verse 18 says, "And when I blow with a trumpet, I and all that is with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" And so they were split up into three companies of 100 each, gathered around that valley. And don't forget, this is after the middle watch. A little after the middle watch, a little after midnight, they would make their way down the valley. Perhaps perhaps the Lord just sent enough light by the stars or the moon to just light their way in secrecy as they moved down the valley toward the enemy camp. I mean, the enemy camp were 135 soldiers with all their camels and all their artillery ready to go. There were so many you couldn't count them. The Bible tells us that. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set a watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke their pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew their trumpets, broke their pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." That's all they had. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 men blew their trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to these various regions there. We won't read them right now. The hosts fled. Look at the weapons. Trumpets, 300 pitchers, and 300 lamps within the pitchers. God's weapons of warfare. Basically to signify, hold them, do as I tell you, and just trust me. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know what those weapons are? What's the armour of God in Ephesians 6? The sword of the Spirit. The breastplate of righteousness. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. The loins girt about with truth. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beautiful feet. Verse 17 spoke of, he gives them clear instructions to follow. And that speaks to us. It speaks of protection. The Lord's given us instructions for our protection. And the Bible is profitable for us for our protection. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Teaches us that which is right, that which is not right, how to make that which is not right, how to make it right, and then how to keep it right, instructing us in righteousness. And it's there for our protection. In verse 22 there, we're just moving on. Verse 22, the Midianites, in their God-given confusion, and in a frenzy, in a crazed set of mind, a crazed stupor, thought themselves under attack and destroyed each other and fled. That night, 120,000 fell. By 300 trumpets, 300 pitchers that were broken against each other, revealing 300 lights or lamps inside. They were God's weapons against that. 120,000 here that died, 15,000 got away for a short time. And you see, it was all done out of weakness. How God would just use these instruments, weak instruments, so that Israel vaunt not themselves against me, saying, "Mine own hand has saved me." Gideon followed on and pursued, were rejected of the men of, I think it was the princes of Succoth. They were rejected of them for sustenance and drink and food as they pursued through the night and through the next day, pursuing the 15,000 Midianites and Amorites. weak in their weakness pursuing were rejected sustenance and went on and with the hand of God, by God's power, destroyed the other 15,000 Midianites. It's a beautiful story of God's enablement, of God's power, and how we need to be less of ourselves and weakened for the Lord to use us. Whatever way that whatever way that interprets for you, we need to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, how can I be a Gideon? I like the pictures in the instruments. I like what the trumpet says. It blows and it gives out a large hail. The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And maybe that the Lord supernaturally used that trumpet and caused a crazed stupor to fall upon the people. Maybe he used the clanging of the vessels, the earthen vessels, the clanging of those vessels against each other, perhaps in the breaking of those vessels and revealing of the light. And I particularly think it doesn't matter. I'm not setting a doctrine around it, or I won't break fellowship with anyone if they disagree. But I think the light which shone out, the Lord multiplied those lights, and perhaps it wasn't 300 lights that were seen. He multiplied those lights maybe into 3 million lights and caused a destruction, a mass destruction in that valley. Why do you say that? Well, there's a picture in the trumpet. Perhaps we could say that's the heralding of, that's the preaching of the word of God. By the foolishness of preaching, by the foolishness of blowing a trumpet to the enemy camp. That's what God has chosen. He's chosen the foolishness of preaching. So use your trumpet. Speak. As pictured in the broken vessel, the vessels that they carried down the mountain. It pictures our lives, just clay vessels. Not metallic vessels, but clay vessels, fragile, sometimes cracked, to be broken for him. Are you broken? Are you prepared to be broken? And if you are prepared to be broken, then a light can be revealed in a greater way. We see that teaching in the New Testament. I'm going to finish with that. How the light can be revealed. And I think it was the light in its revealing that broke the enemy spirit and caused them to destroy one another, killing off one another, thinking they were under great attack. Please go to 2 Corinthians there, New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. What's this got to do with missions? What's missionary preaching this for? It's got to do with missions, because we don't go to any mission field thinking we've arrived. Whether it be Bendigo, Melbourne, Mauritius, Japan. We don't go anywhere thinking we've arrived and we're going to make a difference. Chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." There's a humility there. We don't preach ourselves. We're just servants, bond slaves for Jesus' sake. Verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The same God in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 3 who commanded the light to come out of darkness that same God who created the lights of our universe. Yeah, the Creator God, the one only true God, who created all things. That same God shines in our hearts, our feeble clay hearts. That's what this is telling us here. He shines in our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So this shows us that there are two lights that we see in this little passage here. There are two lights that we see shining out of a clay vessel. You see the first light? The light, it's in verse 4. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It's the glorious gospel of Christ. That's what will break the hearts of men. It's the gospel. It's just supernatural work of the gospel, the word of God. The word of God. Just break a person down. The vilest sinner can be saved. He doesn't think he can, but he doesn't see the word working. And it's the light of the glorious, it's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in and through our feeble vessels. You know, the gospel doesn't sort of fly on its own and land on someone's lap and say, there it is. Yes, there's a witness of creation and a man's conscience, but there's also the word that we're to go out and tell. And so this is significant, and it's through a clay vessel. What's the second light we see? The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's what people need, the knowledge of God. We've got people with darkened minds. God of this world has darkened the minds, blackened the minds of them who believe not. Eyes are shut. They're shut to spiritual things, neither can they know them. But the gospel of Christ can open those eyes. And it's like a light entering in. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God can enter in. And it's our duty. It's our responsibility. And there it is pictured in and through a vessel. Read with me a final verse there in verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. Now I tell you that the treasure are the lights. The treasure are the light of the gospel of Christ and the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. They're the treasures. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The excellency of the power in Gideon's army was not in the army itself, who proved themselves to be good servants, but not in the army themselves. It's an army that trusted in God's instruments and took them and by faith just went and did what they were told. And what a beautiful picture of a broken vessel and a light illuminating out and able to bring victory and to cause death to fall upon the enemy camp. And that's the picture for us. Our body's a vessel to be used and broken for the Lord's use. To just take up your cross daily. And then just to trust the Lord through his gospel, through his power, the Holy Spirit, for his glory, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you make things clear for us sometimes. And we pray that you would open our eyes to what our needs are, that we may be successful missionaries, so that we may see many more added to the kingdom of God, for the expansion of your kingdom. We look forward to the return of the Lord, Lord, and help us, Father, to be always looking forward for the day of the rapture and to be busy as Gideon was. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.